Amen. Thank you and be seated, please. This morning, our word from the Word of God comes from the heart of God through the pen of St. Paul, and it's one verse. It's one verse that is both a commandment. It is one verse that is a word of hope. It is a word of encouragement to the body of Christ that helps us more fully understand why the church exists, the church for which Jesus gave his life, the church which Jesus calls his bride, his pride and joy. Would you open your Bibles with me about midway through the New Testament to Paul's letter to the church at Galatia? Yes, that's the way you say it. And the name of the book is Galatians. Have you found it? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Then, for me, go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Have you found Galatians? The G, the go. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. And this morning I'm reading from the Good News Translation. St. Paul declares before the church, help carry one another's burdens. And in this way, you will obey the law of Christ. God, through Jesus, understands the church to be a closely knit place where the whole person can be cared for. It's more than just helping people get saved and go to heaven. There is a lifelong process of becoming whole persons through the work of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I am determined and I declare that the Conyers First United Methodist Church will do all that it can to live into this command of God. Help carry one another's burdens. Now, your translation may say bear one another's burdens. The literal Greek translation says to take in hand. You get the sense of getting involved, getting your hands dirty. Take in hand the burdens, the brokenness of other people. And when you take in hand where others hurt, you will fulfill, obey, bring to life the law of Christ. Now, Paul doesn't specifically say here what the law of Christ is, but I wonder if this might not be a good definition of the law of Christ. Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Getting involved. Now, the church today has sort of lost its moral compass. Why are we here? What's our mission? Well, I very much like the writing of the Reverend David Papp, who is a part of the executive team with Stephen Ministry, who's conducted over the last few years a great number of studies with church people and non-church people asking this question. What attracts you? What compels you to a community of faith? And, or, what distracts you from a community of faith? And in his study, he's come up with four biblical concepts that he refers to as the four needs. Spirituality, helping people experience Jesus and his saving power in their lives. Community, helping people experience Jesus in one another, giving them the sense that they are connected to the body of Christ as well as their Creator and Redeemer. Care, helping people experience Jesus in their pain. When many people are most clearly in need of the gospel and most open to God's presence and the healing, saving power of Jesus. And service, helping people experience meaning, purpose, and significance by participating in Jesus' mission to the world, being involved in something not only bigger than themselves, but also life-transforming and enduring. And this morning, for a few minutes, I want us to focus in on that care component. I'm really proud that our church already has the Ambassadors Ministry. You may not be aware that we have a group that goes out every Wednesday that for 3 hours visits our homebound, shut-in, nursing home, and sickly older adults. Every Wednesday, thank God for the Ambassadors Ministry. You may already be aware that there's a lay pastor ministry in our church for those families who desire to have a lay pastor, a connecting point for care and conversation in the church. You learned last week of my heartfelt excitement that we have just established the Conyers Office of the Care and Counseling Centers of Georgia here on our campus. And soon and very soon, I hope, the parish house will be restored and the center will actually be in the parish house. Now, these are men and women who are university and clinically trained professionals who love Jesus Christ and are called to a ministry of pastoral counseling. Therapy, if you will. It's a fee-based service for those who need some serious conversation about the challenges of life. But this morning, I am pleased to roll out another component to our care ministry. And I'm asking for your prayers and your support. And I want you to understand the concept of Stephen ministry. It's called Stephen ministry from Acts chapter 6, where the church began to grow and the elders, the preachers, simply could not take care of all the needs of the people. So 7 men were set aside to be in charge of looking after widows and orphans and the needs of the people. And Stephen was among them. Stephen ministry was established out of the heart of a Lutheran minister who was also a counseling psychologist in 1975, who realized that so many people were looking to Christ in the church for real help with the challenges of life, and he, as an ordained clergy person, could not even begin to meet all of those needs. So across these years, Dr. Kenneth Houck has established the Stephen ministry, biblically based, psychologically sound system for equipping, get this, lay people like you. Born again, spirit-filled lay people to be trained in one-on-one Christian caring. Now, if you're from my era, you may remember those wonderful years from 1971 to 1983. Where a program came on TV with famous doctors named Hawkeye and BJ and Charles Emerson Winchester III from Boston. You remember that program, don't you? MASH? And you remember the great character Radar, who before he heard the helicopters said, "The helicopters are coming," and he got on the microphone and everybody rushed into the compound, and as the helicopters landed and the wounded were laid out all over the ground, the men and women of MASH 4077 performed triage. Do you know what triage is? It's to immediately identify the cause of pain and set into motion an appropriate treatment for that pain. Friends, I feel like all I can do for you is triage. And even with the great pastoral care team that we have with Reverend Dan, who celebrates his 33rd anniversary today here on our team, with Reverend Andrew, with Gail Haney, who though she's not an ordained clergy person, has the heart of Christ and is responsible for pastoral care one day during the week, even with all of us available to serve you, the needs are overwhelming. Hear me, friends, I am not complaining. I am glad that men and women are looking to this church, but I know that the four of us alone cannot even begin to address all of the heartfelt needs of the people in this church and who live in the shadow of this church. But because I believe in you, and I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit working through you, I am enthusiastic about establishing Stephen Ministry, which will equip lay people with 50 hours of psychologically sound, biblically based counseling teaching that we can deploy from this congregation, men and women who are the hands and feet of Christ for those who hurt. See, the problem at MASH was the helicopters would come in and they would treat and then begin the healing process of those patients. But then guess what would happen? What would happen next? A whole nother set of helicopters would come in. I am determined to be available with the clergy and staff of this church to give spiritual triage. But beginning today, I am proud to say we are going to put into place a structure of men and women to whom we can refer those who hurt to find the healing of Jesus Christ. I'd like you to direct your attention to a video. It's produced by Canadian television, so you're going to hear some unique north of the border accents that talk about the impact of Stephen ministry in two churches in Ontario. Would you watch this video, please?
As Joy bundles up to brave the cold weather, she shares some warm thoughts with her new friend Janet. See, they both have something in common. They went through critical times in their lives where they needed more than just a friend. And fortunately for them, their churches had just what they needed.
I was a teacher and I retired a little early because I wasn't doing my job the way I expected to be doing it. I wasn't doing it well. And just shortly after I retired, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor.
Janet, it was during that difficult time in Joy's life that someone from a new ministry in her church contacted her, simply offering companionship.
For me, it was very important. It was absolutely important. Each minister from this church came, but they can't come every week. You don't expect that. Friends tended to stay away because my face was bloated. I couldn't remember things. I wasn't the person they remembered. And some of them were not comfortable coming around. Others came around and brought me wholesome food and encouraged me and so on, and we laughed. But we didn't talk about things of the heart as I did with my Stephen minister. It's a different relationship.
Many of us expect that if something were to happen to us, our pastor would be the first person to respond. And in most cases, that's true. But after he or she has moved on to the next person in need, there is often still a desire for someone to talk to. And that's what Stephen ministers provide.
Having a Stephen minister is somebody to walk with them through that dark period in their life, that they're not alone, that somebody cares enough to take time and to spend with them. And when the initial crisis takes place, they are told, you call me day or night, I'll be there for you. And that's very reassuring to people.
It's ministries like this one that urges members of the church to reach out to others, especially in times of need. And that's what Reverend Bethune has seen over the years since introducing Stephen Ministries to his local church.
Oh, wow. That's true.
Started in 1975 in St. Louis, Missouri, Stephen Ministry consists of members of local churches that are trained to provide care and support to those who have gone through traumatic experiences, from losing a loved one, a job, or even going through an illness, like Joy.
But I expected to recover very quickly, and really it took me much longer than I expected. And my Stephen minister kept encouraging me and, you know, get up and walk, and are you doing your exercises? And she brought me readings, not long things because I couldn't concentrate too much, but prayers, and I know she brought me some Bonhoeffer to read. She just was always encouraging and listening.
And for many, an ear is all they need. Janet Wright Smith was also in need of someone to come alongside her during one of her darkest moments.
Well, about 11 years ago, I developed a chronic illness, and it has peaks and valleys. And when it's peaks, I'm still out there, and I'm still me. And when it's valleys, it's much more secluded lifestyle. And I'm a very communal, extroverted kind of person, and illness is often quite isolating. To have someone desiring to intentionally reserve a piece of time just for me, that they would stop by. We have dogs, and my Stephen minister would bring her dog. And it was just wonderful to have her time.
And that's what Stephen Ministry intends to provide, a safe place. The ministers go through an intense job interview process and through several hours of training where they're taught the importance of privacy. In fact, the whole ministry is kept confidential. No one in the church, not even the pastor, knows who the ministers are visiting.
I don't think most people are going to tell you anything that is very serious and significant in their life if you don't assure them it's going to be confidential. If they know that you are trustworthy, you can be trusted with this very private and personal information, which has caused them a lot of pain and suffering. And that's something you most people are not prepared to put out public in a public way. And so it's the same thing with any caring professional. If you talk about a doctor, you talk about a lawyer and so on, people wouldn't go to these people if they weren't assured of confidentiality. And that's true of Stephen Ministry. I think that's important for us to remember that in the church.
Would help me.
So far, there are over 10,000 congregations with the Stephen Ministry, and it continues to grow annually, while meetings among the ministers in each local church are held monthly. Reverend Thomas Kay, pastor of Knox Presbyterian Church in Guelph, Ontario, says this ministry is about equipping their members so that they can support each other as well.
And we felt there was a real need out there for people to have someone walk with them, and a need for people who wanted to help but didn't know how, and were afraid of doing the wrong thing, or didn't know what to say if they did help. And so there was a need to provide real equipping and training for ministry. And Stephen Ministry, the program was the vehicle that allowed us to do that, to equip people to do ministry, not simply sit in the pews and hear about ministry.
That doesn't mean the pastor stops visiting and supporting those in need.
Yes,
but Stephen ministers are able to dedicate their efforts to one particular person for a significant amount of time.
Most ministers are a bit like firemen or policemen. They go from crisis to crisis. A death occurs and they're there. But then they're called away. There's another death. They have another funeral and so on. But the Stephen minister is someone there who will stay with that person as long as they need them. You know, most people, to deal with death probably takes 2.5 to 3 years to really deal with the loss they've experienced of a loved one. And so the Stephen minister is there during that period of time. And while people will survive without it, there are fewer scars. Healing takes place. And what we make clear is that we're the caregivers, Jesus is the cure giver.
I think it's really important because there's a lot of people within the church or outside the church that are in a crisis that need people, that just need someone to sit beside them, to listen to them and be a friend to them and pray with them or just be with them, offer a cup of cold water. Yeah, just give them God's love.
That's what Joy received from her Stephen minister just a few years ago. And now healthy and whole, she knows this ministry helped her get to where she is today.
I heard that God cared for me, and she was a representative of God to me.
I hope I can count on your support. Doesn't it seem to you that this fulfills that command of St. Paul? Reach out. Carry, bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. In your worship folder, in the outline of the message today, is more detailed information about Stephen Ministry. But here's what I'd like for you to do with me today, is first of all, pray for the Holy Spirit of God to anoint and empower especially our three Stephen leaders, all three of whom are here today. These are two women and one man who have gone to week-long training, happens to be in Orlando, Florida, to be prepared to be a Stephen leader in our congregation. And those three persons are Gail Haney. Stand, Gail, let us see you. John Ulmer, stand and let us see you. And Charlotte Kinsey. Now, thank you. Following their training, we are praying for God to help identify Stephen ministers in this congregation, men and women who have the spiritual gifts, that will be trained for 50 hours initially, then receive another 17 and a half hours of continuing education, all about issues related to caregiving. I want you to pray for them. Secondly, I want you to pray that God would reveal to us who those Stephen ministers need to be. And maybe God's stirring your heart. Maybe you have the gifts. I would encourage you to talk with one of these three people. There is, frankly, a process to become involved in Stephen ministry, a rather particular process. And I think you can understand why. Let us know, is God perhaps stirring your heart to be an extension of the pastoral care ministry of this great church? Then I would ask you to come in June 25th to a super great night in the life of our church, a silent auction with some of the coolest, neatest things that you can bid on. We're going to be publishing the list. And the proceeds will be used to initiate Stephen ministry in our church, to provide the training for the Stephen ministers, the materials and all that will be required to bring Stephen ministry to full flower in our church. We hope to do all the training in the autumn, and by January or early 2012, be able to offer the Stephen ministry at Conyers First. Can I count on you to be supportive of this heart-to-heart, person-to-person ministry in the name and spirit of Jesus Christ? St. Paul said, help carry, help bear, help shoulder one another's burdens. And when you do, you will fulfill, obey, complete, bring to life the law of Christ, His law of love. We gather in the light of the open tomb today to be healed ourselves, to be nourished by Jesus Christ Himself, that we can go and nourish others. Even in this informal worship service, I do a rather formal service of Holy Communion. Have you noticed that? I all of a sudden get real Anglican when it comes to Holy Communion. And I wonder, do you know why? Well, many of you were here for the Jesus and the Passover experience during Holy Week. And we understand that our understanding of Holy Communion comes directly from the Old Testament Passover. And in Exodus chapter 12, God goes into great detail about the festival of unleavened bread. He goes into a great detail about the order by which things happen. It's real clear in the Bible that Passover is not a loosey-goosey, casual event. In fact, it is the retelling of the singular greatest story of the Old Testament, right? God's redemption, God's delivery from bondage and slavery into the promised land of freedom. Well, in the very same way, Holy Communion is the retelling of God's greatest of all gifts to humankind. Jesus Himself is our Passover lamb. He is the one that frees us from bondage and sets us into the promised land. So I do not take Holy Communion lightly. Now, I realize we have people from different kinds of traditions and maybe no tradition at all. I want you to understand that when we come to handling holy things, we are never closer to Jesus than when we open ourselves to receive the tokens of His body and His blood. So when I go into formal mode now, you'll understand why. We are handling holy things. And I am real clear that on my own, I have no right to be receiving Holy Communion and far less right to be offering the sacrament of Holy Communion to you, except that I have offered myself as a servant of Jesus Christ, received the anointing power of His grace through ordination, and I am honored today to ask you to pray that God would use me as a vessel of His divine grace for your life. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I invite you to find the liturgy. The liturgy just means order in your worship folder. And part of the purpose of the liturgy is to help us retell, reclaim what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Hear now this gracious invitation. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him and seek to grow into His likeness. Let us draw near with faith, make our humble confession, and prepare to receive this holy sacrament. Let us pray together, saying, we do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own goodness, but in your unfailing mercies. We are not worthy that you should receive us, but give your word and we shall be healed through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of your great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all who truly repent and confess, we pray the mercy of Jesus Christ upon us, that we might be freed from our sins and set in a place of liberty and power to shine the light of Jesus Christ in the world. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Because of all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ, I can say to you today with great joy, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Make a big deal about the breaking of the bread because, my friends, it's a big deal that Jesus was broken for you and me on the cross. His body was pierced and blood and water flowed out. His very life was expended for you and for me, but with great purpose. The prophet Isaiah foretold the work of the suffering servant. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment, the whipping for our sins was upon him. But don't miss the promise. And by his stripes, by his brokenness, by his shed blood, what does Isaiah say? We are healed. you witnessed the breaking of the bread. Yes, I make a big deal about breaking this unleavened bread, because it's in the breaking of the bread that we find our hope. Hallelujah. St. Paul makes the connection between the Exodus and the Lord's Supper when he says, Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah. I invite you to join me in speaking this ancient, timeless hymn of praise. O Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world, grant us your peace. And it is the peace of God that passes all understanding to whosoever would come, whatever your denominational background, if you long for the healing presence of Jesus, you are welcome in this place. I invite you to receive just a dollop of hand sanitizer, since we do dip together out of a common cup. This is my hand sanitizer, man. Come to the table of the Lord and the historic posture of a disciple. No price in my hand I bring, nothing. Simply to thy cross I cling. Receive the consecrated unleavened bread, Exodus 12. Ever so gently dip it into the chalice of redemption and receive together the body and blood of Christ given for you. I invite you to come now to the table of the Lord. I invite you to join me now in the prayer of thankful dedication as together we say, Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we conclude our service this morning, I invite you to look back to your connection card. And on the back of your connection card is an opportunity for you to respond to the Word of God today. And my first hope is that you will internalize this command from St. Paul to help carry one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. There's also an opportunity for you to invite me to be a part of your spiritual support team. I may not be able to spend as much time with each of you as I'd like to, but I commit to praying for you by name, by need, every Tuesday. I want to give you a few minutes to complete the back of your connection card. Then I also want to give you an opportunity for all of you who consider Conyers First Year Church home to stand with us financially in supporting the marvelous mission and ministry outreaches of our congregation. This church is funded every Sunday by believers like you and me who choose to give an offering of thanks to God. God's standard is a dime for every dollar. Some of you may be struggling with that standard. Some of you may be well beyond that standard. But as we've received now from the Lord, here's our opportunity to say thank you. Do it for somebody else. As the music plays, I invite you to connect, complete your card, prepare your offering, and then in a moment, drop them both into the offering baskets.
As we go from this place, we pray this morning that we will truly commit to pray for this new ministry, to think about how can this church be a place that will offer care to this community. Go now in peace. We'll see you next Sunday.